he is gentle in what he does. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul gives us a glimpse of how he treated others. On how he treated others. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "We are gentle among you, like a mother caring for her children." All right? That's what it says. But we are gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children, or a mother cherishes her children, or a mother cherishes her little children. Gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. Okay? Gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. It is a tender, compassionate approach towards others, weakness, and limitation. A gentle person speaks truth, sometimes even painful truth, but in doing so, guards his tone so the truth can be received. If you are angry while you're speaking and not speaking gentle, it only stirs up more anger. It does not help. All right? It does not help. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3. Get there myself. Isaiah 42 and verse number 3. About how Christ is going to be unusually gentle, all right, telling us that Jesus would not break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. That is very weak, but at the same time, very gentle, all right? Verse 3, it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a waxen flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." So he's going to have a very gentle approach. He's not going to come with words of or he's not going to come with physical destruction. He's going to come with words. There are going to be words of battle, okay? But because he says, "I came not to bring peace, I came to bring a sword." That sword is designed to cut. It's going to cut the truth from error to get you to see people who they really are. His words is what judges people, not he himself. The words that he spoke is what judged them, but he was still gentle and humble at heart. So let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. We all know these verses here. It's a very common thing that Jesus said. All right. Verse 29. I'm going to start at verse 28. "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you should find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All right? That means that what his law is tolerable, but it is complete, and it will satisfy you, and it will free you, and it will give you rest, not only for this life, it will give you rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. There is only one thing that can give you rest for your soul, and that is Christ. He's the only one that can do it. But unfortunately, too many people equate gentle with weak, unless you can call the heroic Apostle Paul the almighty Christ weak individual. It is clearly misunderstood, and we assume weak has anything to do with gentleness. All right. In fact, the reverse is true. All right. Let me give you a story about a father and his daughter. There was a good father who had a daughter when she was young. She used to love to squeeze his hand as hard as she could, trying to make it hurt. She could squeeze with all her might, but it would never hurt. She didn't need to be gentle because she lacked the power to cause any pain. And then, just for fun, he grabbed her hand and did a tight little squeeze until she yelped. Okay? The point is, it's the strong hand, not the weak one, that must learn to be gentle. Mm-hmm. That's the point. The strong hand is the one who had to learn to be gentle. Jesus had to learn obedience to the things he suffered. He was the one with the strong hand. He had to learn to be gentle in order to be stronger and a way for humanity. I hope that makes sense. Okay? He had to learn to be this way. He wasn't born this way. He had to learn it. All right? Let's go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. All right. This is what it says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is being gentle. He is standing and knocking, waiting and watching for us to come back home. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants us to have a relationship with him and his Father. He knows what is good for us, and he has a gentle approach. He's not like that thief is going to not come through the door. He's going to come out through the side or the back door some other way, because he's not gentle at all about his approach. He wants to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have life and have it to the fullest, or have it more abundantly. He wants us to have it all. But Satan wants to accuse us to the Father and saying nothing gentle about what God is. He wants us to give up on God and to obey him. All right, but I'm going to show you an example of how Christ handles those in the world who may not be so nice. He handles it in a way that's very calm and very gentle, and that must be our approach as well. So let's look at Luke. All right, Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verses 38 to 42, okay? Luke chapter 10, we're going to read 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read 38 through 42. Right, this is when someone who's kind of being hostile, and how Jesus handles a situation. And this is how we must handle situations when someone lacks the understanding of what you're trying to accomplish. All right, verse 38, the Bible says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had her sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Okay? Martha was the one who opened the door. Martha may have been the oldest. All right? And she was trying to clean her house while Jesus was trying to clean Mary's soul. She did not choose the good part. Okay? In that situation, you know, what Mary was doing was taking advantage of the time that Jesus had. But he didn't retaliate to Martha the same way Martha was talking to Jesus. He was trying, she was trying to get her, get him to help. What Mary was trying to do is soak up the knowledge that Jesus had, because it was a pleasant thing to have him at your house. She was taking advantage of the opportunity. And sometimes we don't take advantage of the opportunity we have to be gentle. We don't take advantage of it because we may be too proud, we may be too prideful, or we may not feel like it, okay? A lot of things that we do, we may not feel like doing. But by doing the right thing anyway also shows a character of strength, all right? I'm going to go to one more, all right? But this one here, when I read it, kind of made me sad because it shows why do we hurt the ones we love the most? Why do we hurt the ones we love the most, or the ones that say they love us? Why do we hurt them the most sometimes? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Watch what this says. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. All right, some people didn't even know this was in the Bible. But it's here. All right. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 15. I'm going to start at verse 14. All right. He said, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for their children. And I will be very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I'm going to read that one more time, verse 15. And I will be very gladly spend, will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that the more Paul loves them, the less he is loved? Why do we hurt the ones we love the most? He loves them dearly, but because of that, they don't love him the same, because they don't have that same love. That is very sad. And this is the church we're talking about. I don't know if it's because they don't have the love for God that Paul has, and it hurts them inside, or that they're so carnal they can't see love when it's really there. I don't know what it is, but this is the way we treat God as well. We treat God the same. Even though he loves us dearly and he is gentle with us, we are so careless. And we can be so callous at heart to where we forget all about God when things are not going to our favor. But as soon as things is worse, that's when you want to call on God to save us. When he's been trying to save you from yourself before you even got in that position. We just didn't want to listen because we don't want to recognize that we need God at all times. At all times. Not when things are just going good. Not when just things are going bad, but at all times. It's very sad. And I will be very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That is very, very sad. But the message that I'm trying to bring is the strength of God. The strength of God's gentleness is in His Word. You can see it. You can see it in the way Jesus teaches. You can see it in the humility of Paul. All right, you can see it because He tells us what we're going to do before we do it, and even after, He still loves us. All right, the way we are to our own children, the way we give them another chance after another chance, not a second chance, but another chance, so you won't forget the last thing they did. You want to do that. And God gives us chances, and He gives us one also right now. For now is the accepted time. Now is the time to obey the gospel. All right, for the Bible says, all right, the first thing you must do is hear. So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is the reward of those who diligently seek Him. And then you must repent, for the Lord is not slacking His promises, though some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that not that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. And then He wants everyone to confess with the mouth. All right, if you confess Christ before man, He will also confess you before His Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny Him before man, He will also deny you before His Father, which is in heaven. And then we all must repent. Then they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's what He wants us all to do. And then you must be faithful unto death. And God promised.